This is Wally Knox. Welcome to the Political Conversation. Since June, Joe Biden has been touring the country saying that Bidenomics has solved our problems. He says that people have jobs, the economy is growing, pay is up, and inflation and unemployment are down. He delivers these remarks in front of big posters that say one invented word, Bidenomics. He's campaigning to drive home the point that he's responsible for the economy and things are going great. But it's clear that he's not getting through. Polls taken before and after he began the Bidenomics campaign show no change in the public's disapproval of his impact on the economy. Only about 40% of us think he's doing a good job. Dan Pfeiffer, who was the communications director for Obama's campaigns and is currently a host on the Hotter Than Hot podcast, Pod Save America, points out that Joe Biden is beating Donald Trump in head-to-head polls on the 2024 election by only 1.4%. Well, isn't that a victory? Not really, because the winner is the one who gets at least 270 votes in the Electoral College, which has a Republican slant. Biden did that in 2020 when he beat Trump in the overall vote by 4.5%. So Biden has lost 3/5 of his 2020 victory margin, and that, concludes Pfeiffer, means he's currently losing the Electoral College and losing the election to Trump. Let's say that again. As of today, Biden is losing to Trump. Just how bad off Biden is came home to me the other day when I saw polling by a group called Navigator. Navigator is a group of left-of-center pollsters and political advisors. They created Navigator to regularly put out polls that are useful for Democrats running against Republicans. So their latest poll took me completely by surprise. Navigator asked folks if we are in a recession. Notice that. They didn't ask about inflation. They asked about recession. The results were that overall, 59% of us think we're in a recession. Of course, it changes by political loyalty. Ask Democrats, and 44% think we're in a recession, while 71% of Republicans think so, and 72% of independents. Think of that. In the president's own party, 44% think he got us into a recession. And once Democratic Party loyalty is removed, independents and Republicans see things almost exactly the same. 71 and 72% say we're in a recession. On top of that, Navigator asked folks if they think the recession is ending or is it getting worse. Of Democrats, 34% say the recession is getting worse, and only 10% think we're coming out of it. For independents, 65% think the recession is getting worse, and 7% think it is ending. And among Republicans, 66% think the recession is getting worse, and 5% think it's ending. Again, the similarity of independent and Republican views is striking and is very bad news for Biden. As far as the vast majority of folks are concerned, the Biden recession is not only here, it's getting worse. But how can folks think we're in a recession? After all, economists say it takes many months of falling total economic activity, the gross domestic product, to define a recession. And as Biden's stump speech tells us, GDP is going up, not down. Just days ago, Robert Reich, one of the most prominent and influential economic thinkers on our left, the one-time labor secretary for President Bill Clinton, ticked off a list of economic improvements. Inflation has cooled to 3%, and as inflation has cooled, real wages have grown. Economic growth has accelerated. Consumer spending is solid. Over the past year, manufacturing, construction, and high-tech electronics, which the administration has subsidized through two gigantic spending bills, has quintupled. Tens of billions in infrastructure spending have been funneled to the states for road, water system, and internet upgrades. More clean energy manufacturing facilities have been announced in the last year than in the previous seven combined. Reich concluded, "I've underestimated Bidenomics. It's turning out to be the most successful set of economic policies the United States has witnessed in half a century. It may not only give Joe Biden another term, but also give Democrats control over both houses of Congress. It may even put the nation on a path to widely shared prosperity for a generation." End quote. Whew. Again, how can folks surveyed by Navigator think that we're suffering a recession? You can either think that people are ignorant because they just don't understand the correct definition of a recession, or you can realize that economic commentators are dumb for not understanding what people know are hard times. When folks are asked by a pollster, "Are we in a recession?" they don't hear the pollster ask, "Have we had months of declining gross domestic product?" They hear the pollster asking, "Are we in hard times?" And they know the answer to that. We are in hard times, and that means we're in a recession. Look, I think what's shaping folks' opinions does come back to inflation. But I'm not talking about the inflation statistics reported in the news. It's about the reality we all face every day. Most folks, real human beings, don't check the New York Times to find out what is happening with inflation. They don't track its progress from month to month and say to themselves, "I hear that inflation has been cut from over 8% down to only 3%, a significant change. I feel better already." They go to the grocery store or to the gas station, look at the prices, and say to themselves, "I'm having problems with my family's budget that I didn't have a couple years ago." They don't know today's inflation rate, and they don't care about it. After all, when inflation goes down, prices don't go down. They continue rising. Here's the big point. The inflation we faced in the grocery store is the accumulation of the inflation of 2021. That was 8%. Topped by the inflation of 2022. That was 6.5%. Topped by the inflation of 2023 so far, and that has been 1.5%. People face the total effect of inflation since Biden came in. Toted up. Since Biden became president, prices have gone up a total of 16%. That is 16% fewer groceries people can buy. That's 16% off their ability to pay the mortgage or rent. And inflation hits the average American a lot harder than those of us doing well. For the folks on top, inflation means they buy fewer luxuries. Maybe they cut back on having dinner at fancy restaurants from twice a week to once. For the rest of us, it means you have a hard time covering the rent or the mortgage, so you cut back on groceries. Folks have had to cut back a lot. Call it inflation or call it recession, it's all the same thing. Hard times. Robert Reich told us inflation has cooled to 3%. That's fine, but that is on top of an accumulation of inflation under Biden of 16%, and we will end this year with 19% of accumulated inflation. Reich said real wages have begun growing as inflation has cooled. Again, that's fine. But for 2 years, real pay collapsed under the weight of inflation, and today's real paycheck is still much less than its equivalent when Biden took over. Reich argues there's a colossal amount of industrial and infrastructure construction going on. That's really good. But has it helped most folks? Of course, there are other observers who disagree with my diagnosis of Biden's problems. Dan Pfeiffer, who I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, says that Biden's failure to hang on to the youth vote explains a lot. In 2020, Biden beat Trump in the youth vote by 24%. That is, Biden got 62% of the youth vote and Trump got only 38%. But current polls show Biden beats Trump by only 10% among young voters, a Biden-Trump split of 55-45. A large margin of support among youth is critical to offset losses elsewhere. That collapse of support certainly can explain a lot. But then the question becomes, what's the reason young voters lost confidence in Biden, and how could he restore it? The temptation when discussing the voting decisions of young people is to look for a distinctive set of youth issues and to explain everything in those terms. But in 2023, it probably makes more sense to use the insight that inflation hits people and families with smaller incomes much harder than those with higher incomes. Those kinds of income differences are usually discussed in terms of race and education. We ask, how do the incomes of black families compare with white families? We ask, how do the incomes of families with college education compare to those with high school educations? We don't often ask about each generation's incomes. But everyone knows that younger workers earn a lot less than older workers. That's what happened to each of us in our working lives. In 2021, the median income of younger families was about $50,000, while families aged 45 to 54 earned about double that at $97,000. Here is what that means. Young voters were hit a lot harder by the inflation under Biden than anyone in older generations, period. Pfeiffer's right. Biden is losing the election in large part because he's losing his share of the youth vote. But what Pfeiffer should have added is that the primary reason Biden is losing his support among the young is that the younger generation wants very much what we all want, to be paid fairly and not to have the value of its pay ripped off by inflation. Remember, the younger generation, whether college educated or not, faced severe problems before Biden became president. They knew, for instance, that housing was becoming so damn expensive that fewer of them would be able to afford their own home, and few of them could look forward to earning more than their parents. The steady progress of each generation advancing beyond their parents that had taken place for at least a century was coming to an end. But then, on top of that, their families' budgets were blown apart in 2021, 2022, and 2023 by the Biden inflation. Their youth is not what they expected. Youth for them during Biden's administration has been hard times. But says Reich, inflation has come way down and seems headed even lower. The folks surveyed by Navigator say their problems with inflation, however, are not ending. 83% told Navigator the price of gas is going up, and 85% said groceries are more expensive. Here's the kicker. More people think prices are increasing today than thought that 2 months ago, and that is true for Democrats as well as Republicans and Independents. So economists may tell us that inflation today is only 3%, but inflation sure doesn't feel that way. It feels like yet more inflation loaded on top of 16% of inflation. It turns out that the politics of inflation is not the same as the politics of unemployment. If 6% of us are unemployed, that means 94% of us have our jobs. With inflation, everyone is hit by it. Everyone. 100% of the registered voters. And when inflation slows down, we don't feel the benefit of that until the whole bout of inflation is well past us. The word is out. The forces for Donald Trump are accepting Biden's claim that he is in charge of the economy and are turning that claim against him. A huge independent political committee that supports Donald Trump just bought a new TV ad which has one message. Biden's America. Wages down. Prices soaring. Families struggling. Biden is out there campaigning, driving home the point that he's responsible for the state of the economy. He calls the rising economy Bidenomics. But he should know the economy that he claims responsibility for is rapidly becoming known as the Biden recession.